Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Religion Means Alive presents the Radiant Brilliance Show with your host, Kimberly Kalima, the show where culture meets conversation. The reason for the Radiant Brilliance Show is that it was created to highlight the many talented and brilliant individuals of our community in art, music, poetry, and spoken word. The Ummah has a lot to offer regarding diversity, and each of us have a cultural history that is just as important as all the other histories that are intertwined with America. This evening, I have got creators of the Dean Over Dunya movie that was recently released, and I've got them on the line to kind of walk us through what his life has been like, what inspired him to write this film, and what his next projects are. This evening, we'll be speaking with Brother Nasruddin. He became a Muslim in 1996 and is a member of Masjid Muhammad in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He hosts and produced the Dean Over Dunya Islamic radio show since 2009. He's the CEO and founder of Haq Productions. He's the writer and producer and also one of the lead actors of the Dean Over Dunya movie. I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening, brother. Assalamu alaikum. Or for our non-Muslim listeners, the greetings of peace.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much for also contributing to the story. Being a director of a movie is like being a storyteller. But I'd like to start with your life, you know, before you became this big-time director. What was growing up like for you in your neighborhood?
Alhamdulillah, I grew up with both my parents. All my life, and we had a good upbringing. You know, we wasn't the richest of family, but we had love and loyalty, you know, and they brought me up the right way. You know, so alhamdulillah, I think that contributed to me becoming a Muslim because I really didn't have the finer things in life, and all I had was religion and God. You know, and I always questioned Christianity, and, you know, once I became a Muslim, I realized this is it. This is what I've been looking for my whole life. So my life basically brought me to Islam and made me appreciate Islam, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. So in school, were you like an average student? Were you in any type of drama clubs or anything that alludes to where you are in your life?
When I was in school, I was like a class clown. You know, I didn't have a lot of respect for knowledge, you know. Because when I was young, you know, I was really poor. You know, and like I used to go to, like me and my brother, we would have like share the same clothing, and you know, and people like laugh at us and things like that. So I used to do things to keep people off of me and talking about me. So I used to be like a class clown. I really never had like a respect for knowledge, and I was pretty smart. So I used to pass class in the grades just by getting by, but I really never like studied. I never had a healthy respect for knowledge. You know, I didn't learn the tools and the importance of knowledge until I became a Muslim. You know, that's when I was real, real studious. But before that, you know, I was like a class clown. You know, I was always getting in trouble. You know, I was like a behavior student, you might say. You know, that's how I grew up, inshallah, in the school system.
Inshallah. Well, that's a lot of people's story that I believe. Was it anything before you found Islam that you could kind of channel your energy to? Any restless energy, or were you just one of the kids that went out in the street looking for stuff to do?
No, I wasn't the type of kid that was a troublemaker. No, I never went to parties. I always stayed home. I wrote poetry and I used to rap. That's when I expressed my thoughts and my heart through that, you know. But the only thing about rap is I could never flow to the beat, you know. So that kind of hindered me, you know. Like, I was really good at rapping, but I could never flow to the beat, so nobody would listen, you know.
Wow.
So that's when I started writing poetry, you know. And I figured when you write a poem, you really don't need a beat. You can just express how you feel just with your words without a rhythm. Mm-hmm. I mean, without a beat or whatever, inshallah.
Okay, that's very interesting. And you look so serious and you sound so serious. I would have never known that, you know, it's been a growing process for you, from writing to rapping to lyrics to telling a story to expressing yourself. Do you have any other artistic things that you do?
Public speaking, you know. Okay. I don't know if that's the art, but I'm extremely good at it as far as motivating the youth and other people, inshallah.
Really? Okay. Okay. It's starting to come together about the purpose of this movie. I'm hearing a lot of things that you probably incorporated over the years and poured into your recent project. Now, you did mention to me that you have a radio show. So I see you took your talent and your skill for public speaking and expressing yourself to the radio. Tell me a little bit about the Dino Verdugna radio show that you've had since 1999.
Well, when the Dino Verdugna show was when it came together, I was asked by some of the E-mans in the city to come up with a show that they can have to talk to the common people who really don't come to the Masjid. And I was, when I first started, I was a host. I was host of the show. Like, my job was basically to facilitate the show, to ask the questions, you know, to do the research and of the E-mans and things like that. So that's how it was for, like, the first couple months. My first show was Ramadan, the first day of Ramadan in 2009. You know, that was alhamdulillah. But what happened when the show, I believe it was an incident in the city. I'm not sure, but it was a serious incident with the Muslims. I had voiced my opinion. Like, I was voicing my opinion. And, you know, a lot of people had liked the show. So they were like, you know, you should do your own show. You know, because public speaking is not, you have to have the ability to express your heart in a way where other people can feel what you're saying. And a lot of people don't have that ability to do that. So the way I articulated the show and the speak, I spoke from the heart. You know, it wasn't like I was the most knowledgeable Muslim or the most knowledgeable Iman, but I know how to get my point across where the everyday Muslim can relate to it and understand it and gravitate towards it, you know.
Okay.
So I put my shows on iTunes and TuneIn Radio, and then next thing you know, my listeners became like, I got a half a million listeners downloads.
Look at that.
In about 3 years of the show.
Wow. That's impressive. That's impressive because a lot of people are just now tapping into the power that is social media and the internet, and the fact that you tapped into it early and you were using it for good. I applaud you for that. Some people still haven't quite caught on to that.
No, don't do that.
Okay. Well, moving on to your film project, because, you know, to me, that's a big deal. We are in some of the same Facebook groups. And I remember seeing when you were looking for actors and you were putting up pictures in different places, making it an interactive experience for all of us. You know, oh, we need a movie that's telling our story. We need somebody to, a lot of complaints go on about how we're represented in the media, the representation or lack thereof in movies. In magazines, there's only one caricature, and it's the most dangerous, most extreme, one ethnicity type of character. And the Ummah is vast. It's like a stained glass window, all different colors, all different cultures, making a beautiful pattern. And I thank you for that as well. So as we followed along, you were leaving clips and samples for people to watch and getting feedback. When you initially decided to make a film, what did people say to you? When you said, you know what, I got a story to tell, I want to represent, what type of support did you get in the beginning?
I mean, before I made the movie, I'm going to explain to you why I did it in the first place.
Okay.
I had actually went to the movies in the Northeast and Franklin Mills to go see the movie Muslim. I don't know if you're familiar with that movie or not.
Yeah.
Nia Long and Evan Ross and Danny Glover. And I had met the director, Qasim Bashir, and I asked him to come on my radio show to talk about his movie because I thought what he's doing was wonderful. I've never seen an Islamic movie from an American Muslim. So he came on my show. He kept his word. And in the middle of the interview, I asked him, I said, listen, this movie was great. It had a positive feedback. I said, will you continue to make more Islamic films? And his answer was, he's just going to make regular movies. He's not going to focus on one genre or the other. So after that show, I talked to myself. I said, if I can make Islamic movies, then I can be the Spike Lee of the Islamic world because no one is doing
it.
No one is telling that story. You know? So I said, I know how to write because I always was a poet. So I said, what I got to do is I got to tell the story of Philadelphia because there's so many stories here that people don't know about. And if they just learn the history through the movies on the big screen, because people go to the movies, that's what they like to do. But if they see Muslims on the movie and hear Quran, you know, I think people will gravitate towards that. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to get a movie that would come out with a bang, you know. And that's why I chose Dean Over Dunya, because Dean Over Dunya is gritty. It's not like all Islamic, and it's not all street. It's both. You get the best of both worlds, you know. So it's a movie that basically teaches the Islamic drug dealer that you don't have to sell drugs. This is not the end all to you. And if you do this is the repercussion of what you're doing. You're hurting people. You know, you can't be a Muslim and a drug dealer simultaneously and expect for that to be successful. You know, so a lot of the movie is really gritty. And, I mean, a lot of people, I got 95% good feedback of the movie.
Okay.
Criticism. And that's cool. I understood the criticism because I asked a few people, because the movie don't have 100% good language. You might have some foul language in the movie. And I asked people, listen, I want to take this out. They say, no, you have to bring it the way it is in the street. So people go understand, this is how Muslims talk. This is how it is. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, well,
so in the beginning,
I
want to
stop you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. I'm glad to feel your energy and your interest and excitation. That's what's communicated through everything that you post up about it, because you're very vigilant in making people aware. You actually got to one of my questions before I could ask you. I was going to ask what filmmakers inspired you. That's quite all right, man. You're radiating. You're radiating the talent that you have for the community. That's why I got you on the show. I was going to ask, what filmmakers do you pattern yourself after? And of course, the person's name I wrote down was Spike Lee. So for you to mention that, that's right on time, because Spike Lee has been making films. I remember seeing his very first film way back in the days, to his first production. And I won't say the name because for some people that movie was a little inappropriate. However, he was on his hustle. He was on his grind. He pulled his resources together, tapped into people he knew, and he went after his dream. And what I see through you is that same entrepreneurial spirit and the love for your community to say, I got a story that I want to tell, and I want to represent a faction that is either misrepresented or not heard from very often. Now, my other question that I had was, there are different types of movies out, and that's a great thing. And we have more and more Muslim producers who are making films, short stories, television shows. A lot of them have shorts on YouTube and various other forms of media and streaming on the internet. And I heard you mention Philly or Philadelphia. And everybody's got their own opinion of what goes on in Philly and how it's taken, and people joke about it on social media. But I hear that I'm feeling that you have a love for your city, and you got a message, and you're wanting to tell a different side, you know, to the rumblings of people who are there or who aren't there, that there's hope, there's change, there's a vision of coming togetherness. With coming with the idea for Dean Over Dunya, what was your purpose? Like, I'm going to put this film out, and this is what I want to occur, inshallah, just on the ground level, not all over the world, not all over the nation, not even up and down the East Coast, but centralized in your own locale. What difference were you hoping to make with that movie?
To show the people that Philadelphia is a city not like any other city in this country, because the Lord chose this city to be brotherly love. That's not a coincidence. Everything is decreed by law. And we are heavily populated with Muslims, more than any other city in America. So therefore, we have to set an example. You know, if Philadelphia can come together and we can rise up above the pettiness and the quarrels and really live Islam, then we can change America, Muslim community. Because there's so many Muslims here, it will be seen throughout the country. You know, so the media is a powerful tool. You know, when you can see something on television or on a big screen, when I pulled up to the movie theater, and I seen Dean Over Dunya as the headline, that right there was powerful. Like, people can want to remember that. You know, when they seen, you know, and heard the name of Allah on the big screen, that resonate with people, because now they see that we can do something that we never even thought about doing. You know, now this dream can be achieved. You know, and the Muslims in Philly, I want them to support it, because it's something Islam. Because when I did this for sincerity. I used my own money to buy my own equipment, and I didn't have any fundraisers. I asked people for money. I raised about maybe $300 from about three different people, and I said, "Alhamdulillah for them." But once I seen that it's not going to be supported by the masses of people. I said, if I'm going to be sincere about it, I have to do it for myself. So that's what I did. I used my own money to buy everything, and I orchestrated getting it in the theaters, and I did it the best that I could. So people can say that we, as Muslims, if you want to be sincere about this religion, then you have to sacrifice, you know, at the end of the day.
That's a great message.
So
that's a great message.
The Dean of Adunia movie is just a foundation for more movies to come. Like Cover Girls is about all Muslims. That's going to be straight Islamic, about the life of a Muslim. And it's going
so
to be
that's
four
gonna
stories.
Be your next, that's going to be your next project, inshallah?
Nah, inshallah. Nah, that's what I'm casting for right now, inshallah.
Excellent, Cover Girls. Excellent.
And then after that, it's going to be Dean of Adunia sequel. And then The Strangers, about Muslims in the 90s, about when they was called ninjas and high waters, like what they went through. For us to practice Islam now, like, we have to tell their story, you know. And then after that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may bring something else to my mind, inshallah. But those are the four movies that I'm biting right now, currently, inshallah.
Inshallah, I like that. That sounds like you have a series of modern enlightenment that's about to happen. Like, you're going to release a capsule of knowledge and information and experience into the public and into your surrounding sectors, and also nationwide. I just like to say really quickly, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Religion Means Alive presents the Radiant Brilliant Show with your host, Kimberly Kalima, the show where culture meets conversation. And this evening, we have the pleasure of speaking with Brother Nasser Odin. He is the CEO and founder of Hawk Productions and the writer and producer of one of the lead actors of the Dean of Virginia movie. Now, I heard you explaining briefly about how you pooled your resources. And a quick question, how much do you think commerce or economics affects your art or what you're trying to do? Or how much do you have to compromise as a filmmaker because of the restrictions of money or employing people, things of that nature? Did that carve away some of what you wanted to put into your film, or were you able to really harness the root of it and still present that?
No, I had did a lot of research on filming and everything that I want to need in order to make this movie successful. You know, and the main ingredient that I wanted dedicated people to come together to make this successful, because I couldn't do it on my own. I needed the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dedicated individuals. Mm-hmm. So the majority of my cast was friends and family, you know, who seen my vision. You know, they may not believe that it's going to be successful, but they know me as an individual, and they know that if I'm going to do this, that I've been practicing Islam for 20 years, then it must be serious, you know? So that's what I use, and that lesson of resources, because friends will do it, you know, just because they love me. You know, friends will bring coffee and donuts to the site for everybody to drink and everybody to eat. So that cost, it was less. So the most thing I had to invest in was a good camera, because I didn't want no bootleg movie. I wanted the movie that looked good on camera, on film. And I wanted good audio, you know, so the visual and the audio is precise, you know, and you had to have a good storyline. And everybody know, you Muslim, it's full of stories in the Hadith and in Islam. It's full of that. That's what we love, telling stories in Islam. So that right there was going to be key. You know, so alhamdulillah. And the way I ended the Dean of Adunia movie is going to be a sequel. You know, people ask me for the sequel right now, and I'm like, I gotta at least let it go through the summer before you start talking about a part two. You know, but I'm also doing a television show on YouTube called House of Iman, and that's like the Islamic version of Good Time. It's going to be a YouTube series that come on every week, and I mean the first show will be maybe next Monday at 8 o'clock, you know, and it's about the life of an imam home with his family and what happens with him when he's home and not at the masjid. Regular everyday life is like a comedy / drama, inshallah.
Inshallah. So you are just all over the place. You got your radio show. You've got the Dean of Adunia movie. You got the pending sequel coming out. You have the movie for sisters. And what is that one called again?
Cover Girls. Cover Girls or Daughters of the Dean. Daughters of the Dean and Cover Girls. But Cover Girls just, it fits it so well, you know, like,
because
they cover every day. So that's why I changed the name of Cover Girls. But it might change the Daughters of the Dean. It's just what the people want, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah. And the TV show. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, as you release these items, if you could just tag me, Kimberly Kalima, or either the Radiant Brilliant show, and I will make sure that, you know, I'm blasting it everywhere because I am so inspired by the people who have a story to tell and the courage to tell it. It is very, very necessary in this tapestry of America. You know, if you have one loose thread, that will unravel and everything will fall apart. We're trying to keep it tight, and our thread is just as important as all the other ones. Now, I heard you speak with excitation about the premiere of Dino Verdugna, and it had to be a culmination of a dream and also an actualization of a beginning of a goal. Tell me more about that. Like, you saw the name and lights, and you saw the marquee, you took the picture and shared
when I got to the movie theater, right, and I seen the names and the lights, it was a fire in the movie theater. So everybody in the movie theater was coming out as I was going in. And I'm thinking, oh, this can't be life. You know, I'm like, they're doing this on purpose. But the guy who usually do the premieres, you know, he said that I had the best premiere he's seen, period. Because usually when somebody do a premiere at the movie theater, they don't know who I am. They don't know who, they don't know what type of movie, but he says it was packed. It was sold out. And so many Muslims came, he gave me another premiere that same night. He said, listen, there's so many people here, I give you another show from 9 to 11. You know, I said, okay, alhamdulillah. So basically those tickets I gave away because I said, you know, it's too late. You know, and the movie had a standing ovation at the end of the movie, and Muslims were saying, Allahu Akbar. Because I wasn't saying in the movie theater as the movie was playing because I was so nervous that people wouldn't like it. I'm like, I'm going to be out here because if they pull it, I'm going to just walk out. So I couldn't stay in the movie. I didn't even sit down the whole time it was on. I was outside just talking to people, trying to just waste time. But the movie got a standing ovation. The people said, "Allahu Akbar." When I heard that, I said, "It's a panel law." You know, I'm like, maybe we got some people really going to fight for sure, Allah.
And you don't know how many people who may have seen that and were influenced by it, because although what we do is dawah for communities, you know, for the non-Muslim community, inspirational, tolerance, pull us together. There are Muslims who are exactly where you are, and they're trying to figure out a way to provide clarity and bring their meal to the table. And they need to see more people like yourself taking that first step. That's what they need to see. The same way Spike Lee influenced you, the same way Qasim did with the Muslim movie. You know, you're like, hey, I can do that. I want to add my piece to that puzzle. So inshallah, there are some young people, there are some old people, there are some people willing to pull together and stop complaining about us not being seen correctly and offer the vision of how we want to be seen representing all our communities. And listeners, you're still here with us. Thanks so much. If you like what you're hearing and would like to continue listening to shows like this one, please generously donate to our program through PayPal using Religion Means Alive. Religion Means Alive. This will enable continued broadcasting and helps us reach our goal centered on taking our mission from the airways to the street. Speaking of the streets, what feedback did you get from your friends and people at the masjid?
Everyone loved it. You know, everyone loved it. I mean, I had some of the imams in the city called me and said, you know, they love the movie and they want to be part of the next project that I do. You know, and I want everyone to know that this movie was not done because of me. It was done because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, trust me, it was frustrations in the beginning process. You know, it was, I remember when my computer just broke. I don't know how or why. I just had no laptop, so I couldn't do the movie without a laptop. But one of the listeners from the Dino Verdugna show, he inboxed me and said, I will buy you a brand new computer. And I didn't believe it. And he brought a brand new computer. And it wasn't, you know, that's when I realized, listen, Allah is going to get it done. It's out of my control. It's nothing I can do. And that's when I became more inspired. And I said, you know what, I'm going to get it done because Allah wants this to be done. You know, so when something's going to get done, Allah is going to get it done. Because if it's good, if it's a good thing for the community, then Allah is going to see it through.
And there are some people who are just tuning in, and if that is all that they heard, alhamdulillah, because that is the bottom line, you know, Allah is going to make it happen. We just got to have faith. We got to be steadfast. We got to believe. We got to contribute the good that we know we have within ourselves. So what you just stated was inspiring. There are people probably going through all kinds of situations, you know, but at the end of the day, Allah is merciful. That was that just gave me goosebumps. You never know what goes on behind the scenes. People may see, oh, brother got a movie out, you know, he's doing it, but it's hard work in between and concentration. And also, the people that you scouted to assist you, were they friends? Did you go to a talent agency? Was it people that you knew of, strangers? How did you pull together your team to help make this happen?
Well, my family and friends was, like I said, the bulk of the cast. But I had a few Philly rappers that was known that wanted to contribute, you know, because I got a lot of Philly Muslim rappers. And I said, you know, if I got Muslim rappers in the movie, and they got their own fan base and they got their listeners, you know, that'd be good for Islam, you know, to see them acting, because they some of these rappers, this is their first movie, you know, so they was promoting more than me, and they got more followers than me. You know, I got one of the hottest rappers in the Philly, Philly Mills, who did the soundtrack called Dino Vidunia for the movie, which is by far, a lot of people love that song because it's called Dino Vidunia, you know, and he did it for free. You know, he called me and said, I'm giving this to you, inshallah, you know, and he get a lot of money to do songs. You know, I couldn't pay him, you know, so lost a $10 made that happen. You know, so it was like, a lot of things that happened as far as the movie is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what I mean? Because there's nothing that I can do to persuade people to get, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once they seen the trailers and see how good it looked, a lot of people got on board and said, no, we're going to be part of this, inshallah. You know, and my family and my friends, when they came in the movie theater and seen it on the big screen, it was a beautiful thing to see. You know, it really was. It was inspiring just because people didn't think that you can bring a movie, make a movie, and put it in the movie theaters. I never thought about it 2 years ago. I didn't think it was possible.
Wow.
You know? So, alhamdulillah.
Brother, inshallah, you got some people sitting up straight listening to this conversation. Like, he made it happen, you know. And again, you didn't do it alone. It was, you know, by the mercy and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are people who have stories. They have vision. They need to hear exactly what you're saying, because it sounds like to me you're a regular guy, you had a regular life, and you just had a big idea. You stuck to it, and you prayed about it, and you surrounded yourself with some positive people, and alhamdulillah, we've got another contribution to the fabric of Islam. And another thing, you know, that you mentioned earlier was about the rawness and the grittiness of your story. You make no apologies for it being 100% real, 100%. And I also wanted to make the comment, because there are a few movies that I've been to see, been to a couple of premieres, you know, support our people, tell our stories. Speak on the faction that you're trying to reach. You know, everybody's not middle class. Everybody didn't grow up in the expensive neighborhoods. There are people who have been going through it, and they're still going through it. You know, we have fathers that are missing out of homes. People used to, you know, who did the drugs, who boost the clothes, all kind of stuff, sell the drugs. You got people who are really looking for a revitalization of their spirit. How do you get through to those people?
When you watch the movie, you wanna see that, you know, everything that you do as a Muslim in the city of Philadelphia has an effect. You may not see the effect that it has, but it has an effect when you do something that goes against the law. When you run a red light, you may not think that it has an effect, but it has an effect because somebody else coming out of the street and they can get hit. You know, so the movie is wanting to let people know that your actions has consequences behind them, even if you don't see them. You know, because in the movie, my wife who got shot ain't had nothing to do with the drug dealers, but she got shot by a straight bullet. You know, so she was affected by your evil, you know. So you don't see that. You don't see what goes on. You don't see when a mother child get hit. You don't feel her pain. You don't see what's going behind the closed doors, like how that affects them, you know. So you have to be very conscious of your actions as a Muslim and always feel lost to kind of the island, no matter where you are, because you don't know your choice can be a disaster for someone else. You know, you may not think so, but that's the way it works. You know, we all connected. You know, you are an ambassador. You're a representative for the Deen of Islam. You know, you don't have to. And even, you know, in the movie, the one of the main characters' name was Muhammad. You know, and when he was the one who shot my wife, and when he shot my wife, he changed his life because he was born Muslim, but he never practiced Islam. It was something to him that was just As-salamu alaykum. But after he realized that he's had a Muslima, he changed his life. Because he realized, like, that's not what he intended to do. You know, he just wanted to live his life and make money, but now you hurt somebody else. So he became the Iman's best friend, you know. But the Iman don't even know that this is the man that shot his wife. That's why it's so deep. You see what I'm saying? He don't know that. So the movie is just for people to really be conscious of the decisions that they do in the world, because it affects the whole population, Muslims and non-Muslims alike.
And okay.
That's what the movie, for those everyday common people who lose their job and want to go rob somebody, for the person who feels as though they're at work and they're not getting the fair shot from their boss and they deserve a raise, everything Allah's decreed is in charge of all of that. You know, that's if you want something to change, go to Allah, because he's going to change your situation. That's it. No one else can change it.
Brother, I'm supposed to be interviewing you, but I don't think you understand how much you're inspiring me with your words. I'm afraid you're right. You are a gifted speaker. The things that you just said are so heavy. After this, you know, I have to sit down and reflect a little bit. That was absolutely beautiful. And I'm sure some people, again, tuning in, don't know why. Just call to check us out. And they're going to walk away with some serious reminders to benefit them, inshallah. Another question that I have, because the movie is filled with drama, I've seen comments and everything on it. Is any part of the film autobiographical?
No.
No.
One thing that I wanted to be in the film is some Muslim sisters has been shot in the last few years in Philadelphia.
Mm.
You know, we had one sister before I was Muslim who was shot in 1995. Coming out of the masjid, you know, somebody did a drive-by and shot her coming out of the masjid. And a few years ago, a Muslim sister was shot in West Philly going to her car. You know, they had a nice janazah for her, Sister Clint Muhammad. You know, but I wanted to put that in the movie, because the people who shot her in the movie was a Muslim. The guy who shot her was a Muslim. So just let the Muslim know that when you do things out there, you can affect your sister. Who's an innocent bystander who had nothing to do with anything. You know, so that's what I put in the movie, inshallah, that's like a little truth to it, you know. Inshallah.
Another thing, too, that I wanted to bring up, inshallah, is that one thing you said that brought you to Islam, you know, was the love and the loyalty. There were some intangibles. For the people that are living that street life, is the understanding and love and loyalty a little bit different? You know, what can you tell them that Islam offers over the street life?
Now, you know, a lot of people join gangs because they grew up without a father and they don't know what their love feel like. So they feel as though they have their love in street gangs. But Islam has everything in life that you're looking for and more. As far as brotherly love, for a sisterly love, it has all of that. You know, one of the requirements as a believer is that you are not a true believer in the sight of your Lord until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. This is a test that Allah is telling you. You won't truly believe until you love for your brother, until his concerns are more dear to you than yourself. You know, and the Prophet Muhammad, he made it that he says, no one will enter Jannah until they become righteous, but no one will become righteous until they love one another. And the ingredients to become a righteous is to spread the greetings. So the Messenger of Allah, he hooked paradise with love for your brother, which you love for yourself. So therefore, if you want to be a Muslim, you have to be sincere. You can't just become a Muslim and not learn the Al-Fatiha in Arabic. Like, if you want to become a Muslim, you have to be sincere from the door. You know, you have to put everything out on a table and try your best to become a righteous individual. That's what Islam is about. And when you become Muslim, you see that. Because you got total strangers giving you the salams. You don't know them, but it feels good to give greetings instead of an evil stare from somebody. You know, when you walk into the masjid, you got people walking up to you, showing you how to make wudu. This is love. This is the religion that facilitates all of that, and it breeds love. So that's as a person who's a non-Muslim, when you see Muslims together, and they all dress the same, they all look the same, That's because Allah wanted it like that, you know, because he wanted all of us to be equal in the sight of him and to love one another.
You know what? And I want to thank you for addressing the non-Muslims, because we do have a non-Muslim audience that tunes in and does give me feedback. And although this show is relatively new, there's a lot going on in the world today. And to give them an alternative to what's being forced down their throat or forced into their face on their television set is a beautiful thing. And that's what they've said to me. So I do want to thank you, you know, for turning to face them and say, this is who we are. This is what we're about. It's not what they're telling you. You know, if you want to know, like the one film program had briefly was Ask a Muslim. And by them calling in, tuning in, listening online even, you know, in the privacy of their own home, maybe they don't want anybody to know they're trying to check us out and see what's going on. You know, it's wide open. We're all over. We're on the Internet. You can get us anywhere, any country, any continent. But I want to thank you for addressing them, because they are here. And until we all sit at the table and really start talking on a grassroots level, we're not going to understand, because it's a serious political game going on. However, you really gave us a great overview of the reason why you wanted to make the movie, the elements that you wanted to include, you know, your love for Philly for coming out and supporting you. And I want to shout that out. Philly had the love and supported this brother. So, you know, bump what you heard and what you read and all these groups, they came together. What do you want the audience to take away from this film? And then I want you to tell us, because you got people excited, where can they see this film? Where can they purchase it?
What I want them to take away from the film is that Muslims are everyday people like everybody else. They have problems. They have difficulties. They have ups and downs. You have good ones and you have bad ones. That's what I want them to take away. And Muslims are not terrorists. You know, that's the main thing, because you see, the Muslims that you see in America, they are your brothers, they're your sisters, they're your uncles. They're not terrorists. They're the people that you grew up with and had birthday parties with. You know, they definitely not terrorists. They're just like everybody else. You know, you have good Muslims, you have bad ones. You know, but we have to stop listening to the media, because they're sensationalized tragedy. You know, they don't talk about good things. They don't talk about, you know, the happy story, because that's not what people want to hear. They want to hear bad things. You know, so that's what I want people to take away from the movie. And you can view it on Vimeo on demand. Vimeo on demand, V-I-M-E-O on demand. You can buy it for $10. You can download it. You can keep it. You know, or you can order a physical copy from me if you have a DVD player through PayPal. And my email address is DeanOverDuniaMovie007@gmail.com. DeanOverDuniaMovie007@gmail.com. And you can order a physical copy. Just leave your name, your address, and I'll send you a copy in the mail within 2 days, inshallah.
Inshallah. I heard you better get that marketing on.
If you're in Philly, you can call me at 267-357-3682, and I can meet you and give you a physical copy of the DVD. Anybody in Philly, inshallah.
Mm-mm-mm. Inshallah. Now, I happened to see on social media that you had an advertisement where you were still looking for people for casting for the Covered Girls. Is that still going on?
Yes. I'm looking for Muslim sisters for Covered Girls. But I don't think I'm going to get a good turnout after Ramadan, so that's why I really stopped promoting it like that, because a lot of people really fast and they really focus on the Lord. And that's understandable. Mm-hmm. So I'm just putting it out there so people can understand after Ramadan that I'm going to get back to the casting. Because Covered Girls, the movie, when I wrote the script, I sent it to a few sisters to put input on it. Because I don't know what sisters go through. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know what the fellow sees when they go to work. So I sent the script to a lot of sisters to make changes to them, because I don't know the conversations they have. I don't know what they think. To make it more sister-friendly. You understand what I'm saying? Because the Covered Girls is about four Muslims. It's about one who became Muslim. She used to be a stripper. And a lot of people are judging her for what she used to do, not for who she is now. Another one is about a co-wife of her. Her co-wife had problems, you know, until she lost her son. And then her and her co-wife became close. And they formed an organization called Mothers in Charge and Stop the Violence. And another sister in the movie is about a brother who's always cheating on his wife, you know, and she keeps forgiving him until she realized that, you know, when a person cheat on you, they betray themselves, because Eve was created from the rib of Adam. So if you cheat on Eve, then you're betraying yourself. So you don't have no love for yourself. So she had to learn that sometimes you just got to walk away. you know, and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's going to send you someone better, because you deserve better. You know, and last but not least, another character is a sister who, she do a lot of charity, and she feed the homeless people. You know, too, she met a homeless man who used to be an imam, and she fall in love with him, and they get married. It's just, but it's a whole lot of stuff in the middle. Like, it's going to be a three-part movie, basically. You know, because I couldn't tell the whole story in one setting, in one movie. You know, so it's going to be a three-part movie. Each movie is going to be 2 hours, inshallah. And it's going to be a sister's movie. It's dedicated for the sisters, inshallah.
Inshallah. You are just creative all over the place. I love it. I love what I'm hearing. Let me tell you. I love it. I like that you're not, stopping. I like that you're unapologetic. And I like when you're telling a story for sisters, you consult some sisters. That's a great example. I can't say it enough. Being a woman. Yeah. Talk to us, ask us what's on our mind, you know, help you tell a story for us and about us. That's excellent. I can't wait inshallah until it's like on Netflix and things like that. And all of our people who are out here trying to do these big things, you know, I cannot wait until you're in the arena. And inshallah, there are some people out here creating a media arena for us, inshallah. And I would like to say again, if you are just tuning in, our call-in number is 805-727-7013, 805-727-7013. You're listening to Religion Means the Live presents The Radiant Brilliance Show with your host, Kimberly Kalima, the show where culture meets conversation. If you'd like to be a guest on The Radiant Brilliance Show, send me an email at guestinfo, TRBS@gmail.com, guestinfo, TRBS@gmail.com. And if you have a show idea or someone that you'd like for me to speak with, send an email to theradiantbrilliantshow@gmail.com, theradiantbrilliantshow@gmail.com. And as the brother stated, it is Ramadan. But after Ramadan and now, the shows are going to be archived for playback. So a link will be posted later on that you can go listen to at your own time and your own pace later on in the year. And inshallah, you'll still get the benefit from it. We are also available in Google Plus under The Radiant Brilliant Show, and also on Facebook, The Radiant Brilliant Show, and of course, Blog Talk Radio. Well, Brother Nasir, I want to thank you so much for speaking with me. Is there anything else you would like to leave with our audience? Any messages? If you could repeat your projects again and how people can reach you. And I'll make sure to include that in the post as I advertise for the show.
Now, a lot of people know me under the alias of Safe and Pop, because that's my radio name, and that's the name I'm in the movie, inshallah. But you can get the Dean of Virginia movie at Vimeo on demand, Vimeo on demand. You can go to Google, type it up. And just type in Dean of Virginia movie, come right up. Or you can go to Amazon Instant Video, and it's on there as well. You know, you can order a copy through PayPal, send the money to $10 to Dean of Virginia Movie 007@gmail.com, or you can call me at 267-357-3682 to get a physical copy of the DVD and film, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me, elaborate on your past, your present, and inshallah, your future projects. What you're doing is very necessary. What you're doing is so needed, not only for the non-Muslim community, I must stress. There are Muslims who want to be expressive, and people like you are helping blaze a trail. You're helping to set a standard. And what I also like is that there's not one Muslim who has the total story. All of us have something to contribute. And I want to thank you, brother, for having that courage, that belief in yourself, and that belief in Allah to step forward.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, this will end our broadcast for The Radiant Brilliant Show this Thursday. I want to thank everyone that tuned in. And again, they're on the flyer listed or the advertisement. There will be links on how to reach his brother, telephone number, how to order the movie, how to stream it, how to get the DVD, and mentioning of his future project. So thank you again for tuning in. Tune in again on next Thursday to Religion Means Alive Presents The Radiant Brilliant Show with your host, Kimberly Kalima, the show where culture meets conversation.